welcome to another Monday night, and you know what time that is. It's time for the cool down lap. I'm your host, Greg Dreis, and this is the official podcast of Midwest Motorsports. And you can listen to the cool down lap on Twitch at twitch.tv/Greg Dreis, also on Spotify, Google, Amazon. Later on, we'll upload to YouTube. And just surfing around the web today, this podcast is now on TuneIn as well as Sirius XM under podcasts. So we got a lot of guests in the house tonight. Our special guests tonight are the broadcast team members. We're going to have Colin Huffman, who does the cameras, Justin James Johnson, the voice of Midwest Motorsports, Josh Watt, known as Mr. Google around the league, as well as we have Justin and Eric Thaler, the team owners. So let the Thaler boys know that racing with their dad this morning. I got on around 10 o'clock to the pickup truck series, and I saw a name that said Chris. I said, that looks familiar, but I don't know. And all of a sudden, I say, hear somebody say, Greg, how you doing? I said, oh, good. And he's looking forward to listening in tonight on the podcast. So let's introduce everybody. Eric and Justin, how you doing tonight?
Doing well, Greg. How are you?
Good. So you guys were down at Bristol over the weekend. Kind of like need to bring your umbrella, you were saying, huh?
Well, we were expecting the worst. I mean, if you were looking at the radar, you know, Friday night, you know, what they were calling for Saturday, it didn't look promising. But, well, they're not waiting for head off, so it was a good time. It was just a long weekend.
Yeah, I think 3 weeks ago was one of the three, maybe four times in the 10 years I've been to Watkins Glen that we didn't have any rain that interrupted a race. So you guys got your broadcast team here tonight. So why don't you introduce everybody and have them say hi and what they do for the league.
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, we'll introduce Josh Watt. Josh has been with us, I believe, since season two. He come on board and originally was our designated race control for both our Xfinity League and our Cup League at the time. And, you know, kind of threw something out there to him as far as, you know, trying to, you know, get some more exposure and whatnot. And he had put together, you know, a pretty decent a broadcast and things. And we were streaming there for a while of, you know, just streaming our races without commentary. And, you know, he built up to what we have today. So, you know, we owe all that credit, you know, to Josh for one. You know, Josh is, our Canadian resident. He may claim he's American, but I won't hold the Canadian against him. But Josh has been with us for a while, and you know, like you said, he's our resident guru. You know, when someone has a question about iRacing or even PC in general, Josh is pretty much the one to get to and you know, ask those questions too. So we appreciate everything he does for us there and whatnot. So, you know, next I would say would be, James. James was, I guess somebody that came to us when we were looking for a broadcaster to join our team. I believe on Reddit and you know, James responded and you know, we were looking for somebody to be, you know, instilled into the Midwest Motorsports way of life, you'd say, you know, what we are and you know, what we strive to be. And you know, he's taking control of that for sure. And,
that's cool.
You know, it's become one heck of a voice for us and whatnot. And, you know, of course, Colin's his right hand man. You know, Colin's been with us for I want to say since season three, Colin.
That's correct.
Yeah, so Colin was a racer with us, and it still races, but, you know, Colin, you know, mentioned that he had some experience with, you know, some of the programs that we run to broadcast, and, you know, James was you know, wanting to find somebody to help out a little bit and you know, make the experience better, and Colin stepped up to the plate and has done a tremendous job, so... you know, that's pretty much the three guys we got with us tonight. And, you know, they are what is the voice.
Hey, Colin, I got a question for you. I've always been fascinated by iRacing and broadcasting and how it's done. When, we have the pre-broadcast meeting before the truck series on Friday nights, you talk about bringing the cameras in, what program do you use, and how do you import the iRacing cameras into the Midwest Motorsports broadcast every week?
So a lot of our cameras are actually downloaded. I forgot what it's called, offline FCP cameras. And I'll look through those and decide if I want to use those or I want to use the default iRacing. And I have to tell Josh what we're doing.
Okay.
And we use SDK as what does all our overlays and controls our camera buttons. So I'll go in there and I'll program each button to say, okay, I want this to be blimp cam. And I'll go in there and code, okay, this is the camera ID. And I'll put camera ID in. So I click blimp, it'll swap over. So it's very manual for every single race. I go through and make sure it's all right.
Got it. So there's like a third-party software that somehow grabs the cameras from the iRacing website. Is that how it works?
Yes and no. So SDK does a lot of that, or grabs it.
Got it.
From iRacing, yes.
And
I just tell it where to grab.
Right, because I've always wondered how when you're watching a broadcast, like in some of the other leagues, Signature Esports, how they get the cameras to actually do so. It doesn't sound that easy, because if you said you got to set everything up manually, so it does take a bit of effort, it sounds like.
It does. It takes me FCP cameras that we're using now for our presets, and they're much easier. It takes me probably 10 minutes or so to get it all set up if I know what we're doing. Before this, so it would have been last season, we did a lot of manual stuff, and that took me the better part of an hour or two per track to set up.
Oh, wow.
And that was just too long. That was just too long for me. So
got it.
We went with this.
Okay. So when there's like a replay or a crash, how do you grab that quick? Do you have a special camera that's set up to grab the a replay of a crash? Or how does that work?
So on my, we'll call it the dashboard, I have a special column that has events. So when you get passes, you get wrecks, you get off tracks, and it'll highlight red for me. So I can see, okay, Justin Thaler went off track and crashed. And I can double click that, and it'll just pop up your replay screen and move a camera there automatically for the most part. So it's really automated in that. Where I come in is actually making sure we're looking at a wreck, because sometimes they'll do it and it's not actually a wreck. Or I get to determine, is this a wreck we want to put on screen? If we got a battle for the lead, are we really going to need this wreck in the back of the field? You know?
Got it. So it's you're actually doing broadcast directing, like that guy you see when some of the big TV shows come on and there's 10 cameras and the guy's saying, you know, camera 2 down and 1 and go to 6. So you really got to be right on top of it to catch all the action.
Yeah. That's a lot of what I do, is making sure we keep the camera pointed where it needs to be pointed.
Cool. And James, you sent me some pictures this morning. So you've got, or this afternoon, you got quite a bit of racing history going on.
Good evening, Greg, and good evening, everybody.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. I'm happy to be here. First of all, I want to make sure you know how much we appreciate you, Greg, and the Sim Racing Podcast, so thanks for making the Cool Down Lap what it is. We appreciate all you do for us.
I appreciate you having me on Friday nights. That's been fun. Hopefully I'm getting better.
Oh, you're kidding? Yeah, I mean, I think you're a great addition to the broadcast, cool. And I hope you'll come back and do it with us some more. I'm excited to know that you're going to run the Cup Series with us a little bit this season, so Hope you got your sim rig ready, all warmed up and ready to race with us. It's really cool to go from the outside and the inside, and now I'll get to race with us too. I think it's you know, welcome to the club.
Thanks, I appreciate that. So, how did you get involved with doing the voice work and being announcing on iRacing races?
Yeah, well, it's I don't want to go too far back or get too complicated, but you know, I grew up in a racing family. My dad raced SCCA, to, you know, before I was born. I've got pictures of me and my mom at the track. My mom's turning wrenches, and I'm in the crib, or you know, that's my dad's funny. Getting ready to drive. So anyway, I grew up at the track, just a gearhead, and started turning wrenches as much as I could, as much as my dad would let me. But then the idea was for me to eventually take over and do some driving. Once, you know, high school and college got in the way, decided, you know, his racing wasn't as important to life as we wanted to. But anyway, so I started doing some scale racing, you know, wanting to be Mr. Independent and break away from my dad.
Uh-huh.
Thought I know it all. You know, I think everybody goes through that phase every now and then.
Yep.
But, yeah, so I wanted to be Mr. Independent. So couldn't afford to go real racing. I probably wasn't good enough to go real racing. And, started getting into RC racing, racing all different scale racing and traveling across the region, across the country.
Oh, cool.
Got pretty good at it. A couple of tracks. We're looking for announcers or broadcasters. And so I would call the race, you know, the event over the PA system, you know,
mm-hmm. yep.
D4s coming up, two wheel mods coming up, you know, less than five go, calling the race, turning your transponders in. You know, just kind of the happenings of the event.
Sure.
Usually three heats in a main or over the weekend, you know, and talking it up, advertising for the concession stand or upcoming events or sponsor promos would bring me a sheet to read over the PA system. So, as time goes on, you know, sim racing, you know, became huge. I'm mostly a console sim racer, so ACC, Gran Turismo, all generations.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm more of a controller player than a sim rig player. There's only so far you can get on a controller, you know, especially such a racing simulator as iRacing. So it's not fun. I'm really super competitive. So if I'm not upfront battling or at least progressing, getting faster, I had to put my commitment somewhere else. So that's why I changed gears and made a Reddit post and thought that there might be a sim racing league looking for I think my initial post that Justin found was asking to be a co-commentator. I didn't think I was going to be the league commentator, but Justin made me an offer I couldn't refuse. He said, the door is open. If you want it, come. It's all yours. And you can make it as big or as little as you want, you know, free reign. And I don't know, the first couple truck broadcasts, I was running the camera as well. And the first truck series was the Daytona Duels. So it was pretty much chase cam the whole way. And I was following from chase cam. It probably didn't make for the most exciting broadcast. So running the cameras and calling the action and trying to keep up with the strategy and the racing, which is the part I like the most. If I can't win on speed, I want to outsmart.
Outmaneuver. Yep.
So that's been my claim to fame in my you know, console leagues. And it just kind of evolved from there. And then, being on the inside with the Midwest Motorsports League, I got to say that they really opened up their arms to me and gave permissions to all of the chatter so I could read what was going on and the text chats, you know, the driver's chats that the Discord has. And, you know, so I could follow along and find some storylines.
That's
been a really cool part of it too. So I'm doing some of the incident reviews and just learning the inner workings of what it takes to run an iRacing league. And again, much credit to Eric and Justin Thaler and all of the admin team. I mean, they've got probably 20 guys now on the admin team because that's how much effort it takes to run it efficiently in the way that the commander Eric wants it to run.
It does. I was doing the Joe Sixpack Racing League that we closed up about 18 months ago because had turned it over to everybody else. And it's huge, the amount of commitment it takes. And we had an admin team of six guys. It is a lot of work. So it's definitely a lot of work. So, Josh, what is your role with Midwest Racing? So what does Mr. Google do and Mr. Google's got a Google?
To be honest, that can be many, many things. Usually, like Eric mentioned earlier, I am the first one who will probably generally find any answer that anybody has questions for. If people need to know how certain things work with iRacing, or if certain things can be done, certain race styles, race types, rules, etc., what can iRacing do? I'm usually the first one to jump on the boat and find out how to work that. Or outside of stuff like that, I'm usually filling in for other admins if they're currently not available or on, you know, work travel and whatnot. So I'm a bit of everything. Like Eric originally stated as well, I originally came in as race control, so I'm sort of the head of the broadcast team as well as the head of the whole race control team. So anyone who does race control within the league, they usually come through me to figure out how to run our apps and our programs and what things to look for and how to make everything look nice for both the drivers so that they understand what they got to do and what the broadcast team actually gets to see.
Got it. What's the hardest thing about doing race control?
When nothing's happening. When everybody's super clean and I get sitting there and I'm falling asleep because nobody's crashing.
Got it. Okay. And what's your role like on the broadcast side? Do you jump in and help out before every race?
Tech support and the main setup guy. I'm usually the one getting the computer and the stream all set up. If it's also going through my Twitch channel, I got to make sure that's all set up and whatnot. Our streaming software is working, overlays are running so that Colin can actually change cameras and have the overlay showing who's in what position, etc. So if something fails, then I got to fiddle with that and fix it as quickly as possible and hopefully minimal downtime and it doesn't look bad on the stream.
No, everything's look good. Are you familiar with Restream?
Yes.
Okay, I play around with streaming when I'm driving and such, and I'm using SimHub for my overlays, but they're not being picked up by Restream. Is there a certain reason for that, or is there another overlay that I should go to?
I would assume that it's got to be something similar to the program that we use, OBS.
Okay.
It's probably a roll link issue, or it's not refreshing correctly. That's what I would assume is the overlay issue. But without seeing the actual, you know, deep diving into the program itself, I'm not that familiar with it.
Okay. Yeah, I just figured maybe you might know, because like I say, when I'm driving, I can see it on my screen, but when I checking out, like after qualifying or something, it's not there on Restream. Maybe I gotta buy their ultimate program for $20 a month, because it seems like you can do a lot
hopefully
more with
not.
That. Yep. Okay, cool. How did you come across the Midwest guys, Eric and Justin?
So I had recently just purchased my first attempt into iRacing, probably around the wonderful 2020s of those great lockdown days.
Oh, they were fun, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. And so I started understanding how iRacing was working and whatnot, and I was sifting through Reddit looking for, you know, leagues to join, and then I stumbled across Midwest that they were looking for race control, and I'll be honest with you, I was one of those weird kids that always liked the official position, like referees in hockey, Okay. The umpires in baseball, the refs that get yelled at in football, you know, that was my kind of dream job. And to be able to, you know, do that, but with racing seemed really cool at the time. And mm-hmm. so I believe it was Eric I was first talking to, and we chatted back and forth, figuring out what the job was. And I'm here I am. I think I joined about race 2-3 of their Xfinity and Cup Series 2 years ago, give or take.
Oh,
okay. I've lost track of time, to be honest, how long I've been here.
Got it. So it sounds like you're having fun here.
Oh, it's been a blast.
Yeah.
These guys, the drivers, the admin team, if you are looking for a league, this is definitely the place to come and check out, hang out. Best drivers, super duper clean. It's just, it's what you want out of a racing league. And the best part is, it's free. You don't have to pay a single dime to get into this outside of your subscription and tracks.
There you go. So whereabouts in Canada are you?
I'm in the Greater Toronto area.
Ah, okay. So you're not terribly far from me. I'm around Albany, New York, so.
Probably just across the lake from me.
Yeah, okay.
So, I have a quick question for Josh.
Go ahead.
If I can interrupt, though.
Sure, go ahead. It's your show.
I'm looking at the Twitch stream. But I think it's the photo that you pulled down for Josh from the broadcast game or the Midwest-Motorsports.com website. And it's got Josh on a moose. And I want to know how on earth you're able to get on the top of a moose, Josh.
That's a staple in Canada.
Yeah.
Every Canadian is required to own a moose.
I mean, you're both right. We got that and our hockey stick.
Yeah. Hockey stick hooping.
Well, I've never seen it before, so props to you for that.
Oh. Justin or Eric, take me through a broadcast meeting when you're getting ready to talk about the season. What's it like? You guys get all three of these guys together in on Discord and talk what you're going to do? How does that work?
Well, I'll be honest, Greg. I give them full control here.
Yeah, we don't tell them nothing.
Well, that's good.
I gave them the keys to the warehouse.
Oh, so that way you can go up and take moose riding lessons in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, I have zero knowledge in broadcast.
Okay.
You know, I'm considering the folks we brought on board, the professionals. So, you know, I've given them the keys to the kingdom. They're free to use their creative mind and you know, bring in what they want. And, you know, they've been very successful with it. So, you know, I'm very happy, you know, and I'm sure all the members are as well.
That sounds good. It's a good way to do it.
We do talk, you know, probably all throughout the week. We're always bouncing ideas back and forth with each other. And I think we do a really good job of, you know, openly communicating and knowing that we can throw ideas around if they get shot down, that, you know, nobody's, you know, ego gets in the way, where we're just really cooperative. And if we're running to where it might be on the line of acceptable or not acceptable, we'll run something by them ahead of time. And of course, we're always open to any feedback, you know, positive or negative, and consider it constructive feedback. So I think that Eric and Justin do a really good job of I don't know how to say, just making sure that they get the right people in the right place and are okay deferring the decisions. And if we need to be reeled back in, of course, I'm sure they won't be shy, but it's been really a pleasure to work with everybody, at least on my end, that we've been able to try some new stuff, and if it doesn't work, we don't do it next week. But like guest announcers, you know, Greg, you were one of the first guest announcers we had, and I think that opened the door for Eric to feel more comfortable having a guest announcer. And, you know, who knows, down the road, we'd like to find more broadcasters and commentators and somebody to fill in for Colin when he's on vacation or doesn't want to do it one night or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, the door's always open, and but you know, it's just evolving. It's an always evolving process, I think, this broadcast is, and we're going to continue to get better.
Cool. Oh, Colin, I had a question for you. Since everybody's not all in that same room, like you see when the TV shows come on, and like I said, that broadcast guy sitting there, turn this down, go here, camera three, camera four. When that little red light goes off on your screen and it says a pass or a crash, how do you communicate that to James so that he knows to start picking up on the commentary on that right away?
I usually don't. Usually he's pretty good about that. His best warning is when he's watching our output and he sees the replay screen close. That's about his only warning he gets.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll DM him and say, hey, there's a wreck between these guys, and I'll do it. That is obviously quite far in between. So it's usually just a spur of the moment, and he does really good with it. So you just go with it.
So you really got to be on your game to catch the change if there's like a pass or a crash or something and get ready to change.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, for James, it's the only warning he gets. He's doing great.
Good. Because I'm wondering, because I'm seeing stuff here, like on the truck series, and I'm like, okay, here comes this replay. I was just wondering how that got communicated. Josh, I got a question for you, since you're Mr. Google and Mr. iRacing. When I was setting up for leagues, and you go to the cars, and then you got to set up the setups for each car, the most frustrating thing I found, let's say a race is at Charlotte, and you're going to do the Roval, those setups on iRacing under each car are not necessarily in alphabetical order. Does that present an issue to you, or do you know why they haven't put them in alphabetical order for any reason?
I honestly don't know why they're not in alphabetical order. I honestly wish they were, because it would make our job so much quicker.
It's a pain in the butt.
It's really, I actually would say the more annoying aspect on top of it being out of alphabetical order is that they don't necessarily all line up for every single car.
Exactly.
Sometimes, you know, the Toyota will have it slightly different from the Chevrolet or from the Ford, and you just got to line up which one is which. And if they change the file name because of a new update, then you got to redo it all again. And
exactly.
It just needs to be redone or structured better. I really would like to know what it is that they've done and how they've ordered it. Because
that's a pain. That's my most frustrating thing is, like you said, you're setting up each car for the track, and then if there's five setups for the track, they're sometimes not even next to each other. Besides that, what's your biggest frustration with iRacing and how they do things? Because as good as they are, there's some things that they do, I got to do the palm slap on my forehead sometimes.
For me, I think it's kind of the poor communication the game gives on penalties. Very unclear sometimes for some drivers of what they need to do. Do they, you know, is this a penalty that they can serve now? Do they have, you know, three laps to serve it? Can they serve it under caution?
That's a good point.
Is it a stop or go? Is it a hold? Is it a drive through? I just wish that information was more clearly shown to drivers.
Yeah.
So I have to wonder sometimes if some drivers are maybe have certain aspects of the flags disabled on their overlay for the default stuff. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I see. I don't mess around with whatever those files are on my hard drive, because like I know just enough about technology to get myself in trouble and somebody else arrested, so I don't play with anything other than what's on the drop-down menus. I was going to ask you one other thing. Oh, the second biggest pet peeve I have, and I've seen it in almost every league and every official race, is that stupid passing under yellow when you're pulling into pit road. and you know darn well that you haven't passed anybody. Is that an error on iRacing's part?
Yes and no, I would say.
Okay.
Just by what knowledge I do know of how such things work.
Yep.
For those that do actual racing or watch real racing, there is usually a transponder on the car. The problem is where it is on the iRacing version of the car. It's usually hidden behind the driver.
Mm-hmm.
So when you cross a line, be it the commitment line into the pit lane, if the car that you're supposed to pass has not gone past that commitment line because of where the pit lane and the commitment line is compared to where the other driver is, he may still technically be behind you, even though it looks like he's, you know, got his nose ahead of you.
Got it.
Enough for the game to be like, well, you didn't pass him, so.
Yeah.
Or you did pass him.
I was wondering what was up with that. So you got that, and then you got netcode.
Exactly. Netcode is one of the worst things.
Yep. What's next on here? James, how many of the series do you do the announcing for?
Yeah, right now, you know, it started off just doing the trucks on Friday nights. And then I was looking for something to do on Tuesday nights, and I was just following along in the Midwest Motorsports Twitch and streams, and said, man, that would be fun to call some road racing, too. And so at that time, I contacted Justin and asked if we could consider calling some road racing. And I really wanted to do it with a camera guy. So that's when Colin and I started talking. And I politicked. Justin and Eric probably got tired of me, and Josh probably got tired of me bugging him so much. I think I bugged him for a whole week trying to say, let me and Colin do the road racing.
That's funny.
You know, I committed to the trucks, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't, you know, bite off more than I can chew.
Yep.
With the time commitment. So, but yeah. So right now I'm doing the road series on Tuesdays, and the trucks on Fridays.
Got it. What's different about calling a road course versus an oval?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, there's not too much difference. I think, well, strategies always play out a little different in a timed race versus a lapped event.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the likelihood of the yellow flag or stage cautions may throw in the different, you know, angles or parts of the aspects of the race that you need to advertise or point out during the broadcast to make it interesting for the viewers. So it's different that a lot of times the oval racing is more wheel to wheel, side by side for durations. You could be working on a pass for 4 or 5 laps at a time on an oval race, and you can too in road course. Now that our the racing has gotten a lot cleaner in our road series. There's a couple of road races where there were more wrecks than anybody could call, even if you had 1,000 cameramen. Justin reeled everybody in, and the incidents per lap and a little bit of coaching on the Discord. And the racing has become a lot more clean. And I see guys setting up passes 2 or 3 corners and just applying pressure without going overboard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, it's a little bit different, but really at the end of the day, you know, you're calling what you're seeing and, thinking about the finish line and, you know, what's going through the driver's head, while they're driving. It's not much different than real live racing that you might see on NBC or Fox throughout the week.
Cool. And you guys were at, Autodromo Monza or whatever that long Italian name is last week.
Are you familiar with the Monza track in Italy?
I do the Carburetor Cup series on iRacing on that, and that is probably the track that if you even breathe wrong, you're going to go up into the woods coming around turn 4 just before you come into the grandstands and pit entrance. I was watching the Fanatec Challenge from earlier this year that was being broadcast on CBS Sports over the weekend, and they were at that track. It was it's one of my favorite road courses, as well as the oval there. And the interesting thing was, there was a young kid driving for Mercedes, 17 years old, and he was driving in that race. It was a great looking race to watch.
Yeah, mine's is definitely a high speed.
Yeah,
lots of long straightaways, high speed, low downforce, if you can change settings, but rarely go on fixed setups, but. Lots of long straightaways with really long braking zones from a high speed. And road racing, that's really where you make the passes is in the braking zone. So if you're going from a high speed to a low speed, that braking zone is longer. So if you can, get a slipstream or a draft right up behind them and pop out and try not to run over their bumper, which sometimes you do, that's racing. Mine's is a pretty exciting track, and I think there were close to 25 or almost 30 cars.
Oh, wow.
Because the GT4s are broken into two classes.
Yep.
Midwest Motorsports did a good job of splitting up, keeping everybody involved. Instead of having one out of 30 be the winner, now we're going to have two, or one out of 15.
There you go.
On the same track at the same time. So it's pretty cool there. And, lots of different aspects of the racing. This next week, we're at the Red Bull Ring, which is the Austria A1 Ring. So, that's going to be real exciting too. Lots of right and sharp turns, a couple of lefts that are sweeping, and, we'll see how strategy might play out in a 1 hour race. Actually, at Monza, they had a sprint race and then a feature race. They do that a couple times a year. They invert the top 10. And that was pretty exciting too. So all those things you kind of got to keep in mind. And that's another thing we talk about, before the race with Josh, Colin, and myself, we'll talk about the possibilities and what to look for. I think you got a little piece of that when we were calling the trucks, knowing when the stage breaks are coming and at what laps we know when to expect. And some of the rules that race control might throw in as well, as far as the pit lane closing a couple laps beforehand.
Got it. Yeah, Sunday, the Fanatec Challenge, there were 55 cars on the track, I think across five or six different classes. Colin, I know you've got a training class coming up, and you've got five or six people that are interested. Take me through that training course. What am I going to learn after my son gets married and I have time to help you out there with it or be part of the class?
So a lot of what I'll be teaching you is just how to click the buttons.
Okay.
It's a little bit different what I'll be doing because I don't want you to pay for the software.
Yeah.
But, it'll be getting that set up, which is a headache in itself, trust me.
Okay.
And pressing those buttons and making sure that, you know what you're doing. But a lot of it is pretty simple once you learn. It looks, if you ever seen a picture of like those sound recording booths, all those dials and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
it's very similar.
Yeah, I've been in
them. It's very similar.
Got it. Well, that just scared the crowd out of me.
But no, it's not that bad. Once you get down, what buttons you need to press and where you're at on your board, you're fine for the most part.
Yeah,
so it becomes like a habit at that point.
Got it. Yes. Yeah. When I did talk radio, it was in a studio that used to be an AM radio station where they had records and cart machines and all that stuff there. And when I went in to train to do it, I looked at the board and I'm going, oh my goodness, what does all this stuff do? It's like a 14 track board that we ended up only using like four of them. And I love how it is with this. Got it. I love recording studios.
It's very similar.
Got it. So when I went, was doing voiceovers, commercials for radio and TV, and I cut my demo tape in like a 48 track studio, and it was amazing. So, they're fun, but I don't know what all those dials do today and all those things. Were you going to mention like Friday night, do like a pretend race or something?
We did one last week, just to test out a few things. And, I think we haven't talked about it with the guys yet, but we might end up doing another one since we got some other people interested, including you.
Cool.
So I think we might be doing that, and if it's good enough, I'll put it on YouTube. We'll see how you do.
There you go. So we have like five or six other drivers and league members interested?
Right now we got that number's gone down to 2, including you. So
okay.
Not very many right now.
Got it.
But if you are in our league and are interested, by all means, reach out, and we'll be happy to talk to you and train you. So we're all pretty happy to do that. We're always looking for new people.
Cool. And about how long does it take for the average non-technical person to get to know which button to push?
Well, I've never trained somebody, to be honest.
Oh,
okay. So I don't know. So you'll be the first. You'll be the guinea pig.
Oh, great.
But it took me, when I started, it took me a few, like 2 or 3 broadcasts to get it down.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it was pretty regular, the same buttons. You knew what you wanted to do.
Got it. Okay.
So, and like you mentioned, you have 100 dials. You only use 4 of them.
Yep.
It's very similar to that. Like, I have 100 panels. I probably only use 4 of them routinely. So, yeah.
Ah, okay. So, it's kind of like Photoshop. There's 14 ways to crop a picture, but you're only going to use 1 or 2 of the ways.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yep. Okay. Yep. Yep.
So, Josh, have you done any camera work for the league at all?
Yeah. So mine was more of a set it and forget it type of thing before Colin came along. I would try to, and I still kind of do with some of the cup races when, since we don't have the broadcast team taking on those yet, I'll try to throw certain camera angles when I can in between doing race control just to try and keep things a little bit more interesting than watching, you know, same couple of cars go around the same corner with the same exact camera angle every single lap. You know, I try to throw maybe like TV2 or TV3 every once in a while, or zoom it in and focus on a car for a bit. Or what I do for camera angles prior to Colin and even currently are nowhere near what Colin's been able to bring to the table. It's been so much better having him be able to focus mostly on that while everybody else is taking care of what needs to be done.
Got it.
Yeah, I'll agree 1,000%. And, you know, that's one of our goals for this season is to get better on the stuff that Colin and I do beforehand so that Josh can actually concentrate on driving his truck. Or I don't know if Josh, if you registered for any series this season, but hopefully you can get back to doing some more driving and not so much putting up with me and Colin asking the Google guy to fix it.
Yeah. Oh, what we're saying is, what Josh says a lot is, everything back in is held together by duct tape and glue. But it usually works out. Sometimes it doesn't work out so well, but my band director always said, it's not about the problems you have, it's how you recover from the problem. So if we recover from a problem decently well, I'm happy.
You know, there's something to be said for duct tape and glue and WD-40 instead of having something rigid that breaks and there's nobody in the room to know how to fix it or even patch it back up.
Yeah. It had its pros and cons.
So, anything else from Josh, James, or Colin you want to chat about?
I just want to make sure everybody knows how much I enjoy calling the races, and thanks for having me and on the team. And it really is a team. And if you get a chance, reach out to your local admin and thank them for the effort they do, because it does take a lot of work to put all this together. And yeah, we're just going to make it happen and keep bringing the action to you.
Cool.
I do want to thank Eric and Justin for actually letting me do this. I know I tried before James to let them let me do it, and they were hesitant. And then when James came along, I managed to convince them to let me give it a shot. So I do thank them. I owe them a lot. Give me a chance to do this. And I really enjoyed it.
Cool. Oh, are there plans to, at some point, have all 4 series with commentators?
I guess, who do you want to ask that question to?
Whoever wants to answer.
Are you kidding me? It's something we want to do. It's just we don't have the manpower or time to do it right now.
Got it.
Is the best way to put it.
Got it.
Yeah, the hardest thing is, you know, we're running, I guess, a total of 4 series overall here.
Yeah.
A lot of admins are kind of involved in both sides of road and oval. And it's hard to do too much and not do a little bit right. I'd like to do a lot of right with, you know, just doing a little bit right now, even though really 4 series is a little bit. But, maybe one day we'll get there. It'd be really cool if we can get the participation up and the members to really fill up the grids. Might have a couple of answers at one point, maybe, but it'd be really cool. But big picture, yeah, that'd be ideal. But I focus on what we have now and getting that perfected and get that recipe right before kind of doing anything else.
Yeah, well, it sounds good because it certainly saves a lot of money every week on broadcasting. Because out of the 3 leagues that I was running, we were broadcasting 2 of them, and it was like, one guy was getting $45 a race and another was $30. So you're looking at $300 a month there just in broadcasting. So that does get expensive because, you know, sponsors are not easy to come by on iRacing.
Yeah.
You know, and something like this too, just on that point, I think if you're doing this part for the money, you're not doing it for the right reasons. You know, I think,
exactly.
This is something you really got to love to do if you want to do it well. If it's a job, then I may not be as enthusiastic. I mean, it's not fair to say that I wouldn't be as enthusiastic. Of course, I would be, you know, it'd be a dream. But, you know, and really, if you're really passionate about it and you want to do it, and you're not doing it for the money. I don't think anybody's doing the sim racing stuff for the money.
No, unless you're in the eNASCAR Coke series. That's like the iRacing painters that are out there. And, you know, some guy charges $20 for a paint and a guy complains. It takes a good half hour, 45 minutes to put a paint together on a car and get it right. So there's a few guys I see that are getting $30-$40 a car, but most of them are $5 and $10. And it's like most of the broadcasters, that they do it for $25 and you get all the prep time. And sometimes a race can go an hour and a half, 2 hours. So you're definitely not doing it for the money.
Yeah, a couple cups of coffee, and that's about it.
Yep, and I'll take a few more zeros on my paycheck at any time for what I'm doing for these guys.
we gotta stop talking about money when we do these things.
I put in the double Colin salary next season.
I'll second. I'll give him 2 of my zeros. and he can choose from which side of the decimal point they come from. Josh, James, Colin, thanks for stopping in tonight. We're gonna just move on to another topic. You're more than welcome to hang out till the end if you gotta head out. Certainly understand that. Eric and Justin, you wanted to talk about who we're gonna have next week. Somebody from the rules committee for oval and talk about schedule that's coming up. So why don't you guys take it away on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the time that we spent at Bristol this weekend was setting up the schedule for season 6, along with kind of putting the final stamp on the rules and whatnot and the changes that we want to make, obviously to make things better for the league. But, we spent most of our mornings into lunch hour and just before heading over to the track for the races, with our laptops open and my thighs going on to set all that up. And, I think next week would be a great opportunity to bring in Anthony Castor. He's our rules admin for our oval leagues. And, I think it'd be a great opportunity for him to kind of introduce some of the changes that we're making to season 6 and, kind of put out the spoilers as far as, you know, what we decided to do with the schedule this season and the things that we're doing a little differently from the past. So, looking forward to him coming on next week, next Monday, and joining us. And, and talking through some of that.
Cool. Is the season just about locked down for the Oval Series?
Yeah, we are. We're ready to roll. The only thing we're lacking here is the putting the race schedule into iRacing. So, you know, we're getting this getting it done bit by bit here, and you know, I'm super excited for what season six is going to bring, and you know, I'm anxious to see what you know, what the other members think of some of these rule changes, and you know, along with what we've done with the schedule. So it's going to be a good one.
Sounds like it. I'm looking forward to the Cup Series on Sunday nights with you guys.
Good. It's Cup Series is definitely fun. It's got a lot of competitive racing, a lot of clean racing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's one that that we kind of get moving with minimum cautions, and you know, a lot of strategy goes into play with not so many cautions. So it's a fun night Sundays.
Cool. Anything else before we call it a night?
That's it on my end here, Greg.
Okay.
I just want to again thank all the guys who did help us with our broadcast, with Josh, James, and Colin. You know, the guys do it because it's something they enjoy doing, and they want to do it. And I think to know of all the, everything that goes into, hopefully this gave some insight to what it is they have to deal with all the time. So when guys, you know, can have a little understanding, it's not always perfect. They are working with software a lot of the time. So, you know, any error there can cause basically nothing to function, but, they do a great job, and, hopefully everybody has a new appreciation for them. And, we definitely do. And we're glad they came aboard with us, and they're here. And, again, we just wanted to say thank you again.
Cool. And knowing, like where I am, I'm out in the sticks. It's like, even though I'm in New York, I am 10 minutes from the nearest store, 5 or 6 miles from the nearest gas station, and not running on fiber optics. And you've got somebody up in Canada. So, you know, we're kind of spread all over North America, and somebody's internet could go down and you could lose an announcer but still have the feed, or you can lose the feed and still have the announcer. So yeah, there is a lot behind the scenes, and I picked up quite a bit of information tonight because I was always wondering how they get the cameras from iRacing onto the broadcast. So yeah, looking forward to next week. And Anthony Castor, the rules director for the Oval Series, should be an interesting show. So thanks a lot again, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Greg.
Anytime.
Hey, Greg, see you on the podcast, on the Sim Racing podcast, and
okay.
Again, open door on the trucks anytime you want.
Yeah, all right, so let's, I'll start sending you some messages so you can, I want to hear your racing story with all those great pictures of the Formula V series, and you can come on the Sim Racing podcast, and we'll talk racing for a while.
All good, sounds great, Greg.
Okay, take care. Good night, guys. This has been the Cool Down Lap, the official podcast of the Midwest Motorsports League. And tonight we had our broadcast team of Josh, James, and there's my 60-year-old. There we go. Josh, James, and Colin. There you go. I had to jump back to the other screen. I've got an excuse. I'm in my 60s. I'm still trying to learn all this technology here. So thanks again, guys. We had a great time tonight learning how the broadcast system works for Midwest Motorsports. And season 6 is just around the corner for the Oval Series. And we'll be starting week 2 tomorrow night on the Road Series. And Road Series just fascinate me. I'm never good at driving them, but I enjoy being on and trying to drive anyway. So this has been the Cool Down Lap. You can catch this for the next 2 weeks, the video and audio on Twitch. will be uploaded either later this evening or tomorrow morning onto YouTube. And then we'll also move it over to Anchor, where it gets to all the major podcast platforms, Google, Amazon, Apple. We're now on TuneIn and also on SiriusXM, as well as all the others. Catch us on Twitch at twitch.tv/GregDreis. And do a little plug for something I do in the off season. Once my workload is done, I like to, when I'm not running leagues, I like to do some money races every once in a while. And the Sim Racing Podcast will be doing one the week before Thanksgiving. We'll be sponsoring and promoting. It's Thursday, November 16th at 8 p.m. It'll be under hosted. It's the Sim Racing Podcast Turkey Trot, the Turkey Run, free entry. I think there's $150 in prizes, $75 for first, $50 for second, $25 for third. It will be next-gen cars, fixed set, 125 laps at Kansas. So stay tuned for more information on that. 30-car max field. License is A through C with an I rating of 750 minimum. 2500 max. These races are always fun. We have some good competition during these races, and just a little bit different than a normal race that you can find. There'll be no quick fixes, three tire changes, and a whole bunch of other information that we will start getting out to everybody. So that's the Sim Racing Podcast, the Turkey Run, the Thursday before Thanksgiving. It'll be November 16th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, unhosted, free to get in, 30-car max field, and just going to have fun and give away some money because turkeys are getting expensive. Want to remind everybody that's in the Midwest Motorsports League about Track Racer. If you buy some of their wonderful sim racing equipment, make sure you let them know that you're in Midwest Motorsports, some sort of a code or a button to hit there so the league can get some money to add more zeros to my paycheck. And so they do get a commission for sales, which all goes to the league. And as you know, there's not a lot of sponsorships out there. So anything you can do to help your league pay for the expenses that do get incurred for running the league, make sure you check out Track Racer so your league will get a commission on that. We'll see you next week when our guest will be talking about rules changes for the upcoming season for the Oval Series, as well as schedule and track information.